Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring and that's my fine wife, Beth. And on today's call, we're going to talk about seven keys to aim your seed at your need.
All righty, and I am ready.
Here's a confession for today.
And I know everybody out there is ready.
Heavenly Father, I'm calling out, exposing, and cursing these 12 sin tactics of the enemy. In the strong name of Jesus, we bind sin, fear, debt, sickness, lack, greed, addictions, anger, hurt, depression, sexual sin, and hopelessness. By the authority of the word and through the blood of Jesus, we're binding these dozen dirty sins out of our lives in the environment in which we live and operate. Lord, we rejoice because your desire for us is freedom. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
We rejoice because you're with us. We rejoice because you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We rejoice because we will not fear anyone or anything because you are on our side.
That's it.
We call this done and done in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
It's backed up by a lot of scripture, too.
Yes,
Romans
it is.
8:31 and 32. Got Mark 10:45 in there. You got Deuteronomy 31:6 and Hebrews 13:5.
Hallelujah.
That's it.
A seed is a supernatural blessing.
Amen.
Genesis 1:11, classic Amplified Bible. And God said, let the earth put forth tender vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees yielding fruit, whose seed is in itself, each according to its own kind, upon the earth. And it was so. Every seed carries a specific genetic instruction on what it shall produce. We don't have to tell a watermelon seed to produce watermelons, because that invisible instruction is hard-coded into each seed. Everyone knows that apple seeds bring forth an apple harvest, and peach seeds bring forth a harvest of peaches. I love peaches. Seeds produce a harvest after their own kind. It's always been this way, and it'll never change. The seed you plant determines the kind of harvest you'll reap. We cannot stress strongly enough this. It's not the kind of harvest you need that determines the harvest you will receive. It's the kind of seed you plant. So we don't need to fool ourselves. Luke 6:38, give, and it, that which you've given, shall be given unto you. Notice the word in this verse, it. Notice the word it in this verse. It is a powerful word. I want to paraphrase verse 38 to show you just how big this word it really is. Give apples, and it, apples, will be given unto you. Give clothing, and clothing will be given unto you. Give money, and it, money, will be given unto you. Now, let's read verse 38 this way. Give money, and it, money, will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and run it over, shall men pour money into your bosom. For with the same measure that you give money, it, money, will be given back to you. That's a great verse to personalize to. Hallelujah. Give money, and it will be given back unto Carolyn. Give measure, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall a man pour money to Carolyn's bosom. For with the same measure that Carolyn gives money, it, money, will be given back to her. One more. Give money, and it, money, shall be given unto Vincent. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall a man pour money into his bosom. For with the same measure that Vincent gives money, yet money will be given back to him. We don't need to fool ourselves. If we expect to receive a financial harvest from God, we got to plant some money seeds into the work of God. Galatians 6:7, classic Amplified. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Personalize this last sentence. For whatever Yvette sows, that and that only is what she'll reap. For whatever Sarah sows, that and that only is what she'll reap. Hallelujah. One more.
Whatever Debbie sows, that and that only is what she will reap.
Hallelujah.
There's so many.
So many.
So many.
The kind of seed you plant is the kind of seed you'll reap.
Hallelujah. Now, we're going to dig a little deeper and let's look at specific seeds. These sown by King David in the midst of a crisis when he felt like nothing else was working. In 2 Samuel 24, verse 25, Classic Amplified, it says, David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and Israel's plague was stayed. First off, David made a deliberate decision. He built an altar to honor God before making a request. And second, when he built that altar, he had a specific purpose in mind. Third, his seed, his prayer, his offerings brought the desired results. And fourth, David's specific offering solved a problem when he didn't know what else to do and nothing else was seeming to work. David aimed his seed to meet a specific need. So let's consider the specific seed of deliverance Job sowed for his friends in Job 42:10. 42:10, Classic Amplified. And it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job and restored his fortunes when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. First, things turned around for Job when he offered a specific seed. Second, Job's seed was a prayer of deliverance for his friends. They needed it. Forgive me. I'm judging. Third, God gave Job twice as much in return as he had before his enemies attacked his family and his fortune. And fourth, Job aimed his seed at a specific need. Fifth, Job's specific seed not only brought a return from God, but he was also blessed by the people he prayed for. And that is true. It says in Job 42:11 in the Classic Amplified, every man also gave him a piece of money and every man an earring of gold. Before we get into something else, I want to just throw something kind of randomly that, you know, we don't know exactly how Job viewed his friends coming there to go, well, you know, you must have sinned somewhere along the line, you know. But one of the things that we preach and we teach is that you really cannot harbor resentment in your heart.
It.
You have to, I mean, one of the reasons I think that he had him pray for his friends was the fact that he needed to release what he felt about these people and what they'd send to him in his darkest hour. And that, I'm telling you, the Lord will specifically ask you to pray for people that you think it's almost impossible to pray for. But he's not just doing it for them. He is doing it for you. You cannot pray for somebody that it will not, the Lord will not soften your heart toward that person if you're praying correctly. But anyway, next, Isaiah 55:10-11. Isaiah 55:10-11, we discover how the seeds we send out bring a harvest. These two verses say this, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. You know, he wrote the word through inspired by the Holy Spirit. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That is what is so important for us to pray the word. First, when we sow a seed, we need to do so with specific instructions. Second, when we send out the word, which is a seed, it will not return to us void. We can know that. It is the seed from the word of God. Third, a money seed has the same potential as the word when it comes to sowing, because it is seed to help and be in something where you're sending it to. Fourth, our seed, our word, will not return to us void. And fifth, Isaiah 55:11 says, to send the seed we send out shall accomplish that which the Lord pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto it was sent. So you're sending it out with instructions. The instructions are based on the word. Sixth, that's why we pray the word, and we pray it over our seed. And last, seventh, name your seed for whatever purpose you intend it. Your seed will obey because it has the supernatural abilities based on the word and its financial DNA. Wow.
Next, let's look at the precious specific seed sowed by the widow at Zarephath.
Hallelujah. 1 Kings 17, starting with verse 9. 1 Kings 17, 9 through 14 in the Classic Amplified Bible. This is God's instructions to Elijah. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a woman was there gathering sticks. He called to her, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have not a loaf baked, but only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in the bottle. See, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, fear not. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little cake of it first and bring it to me, and afterward prepare some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not waste away, or the bottle of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth.
First, God commanded the widow to provide for the prophet. The New Living Translation says God instructed the woman to provide for the prophet. Second, the prophet gave the widow a specific instruction about what she was to sow. Bring me a morsel of cake, bread in your hand. Third, the widow understood and shared the severity of the situation with the prophet. In sowing seeds, you don't ignore your problem, but you always focus on the solution. Fourth, when sowing specific seeds, take authority over fear. Elijah said, fear not, go and do as you've said. Fifth, the prophet told her to make his cake bread first, and then she could make what was left for her and her son. In aiming our seed, we must not base the amount of the seed on what we have, but rather what God instructs us to give.
That's right.
Sixth, the widow woman was reducing a mega harvest. Woman was reproducing a mega harvest of oil and meal. Seventh, the widow received a perpetual harvest until the rains came again. Which leads us to our last point, the seven keys for aiming your seed.
That's it. First, talk with God about your specific purpose for your seed. Second, that's the Holy Spirit leading you right there. Second, what do you believe God will accomplish through your seed? It's got to be based on the word. Third, is the purpose of your seed in line with the word of God? That's it. That's the third one. Fourth, speak out loud to your seed. Tell it to go where it needs to go and do what it needs to do based on the word of God. Fifth, continue confessing that word over your seed. Thank you, Jesus, that, and then you just go on and claim the scripture and the word every day. Sixth, because you're kind of watering your seed right there. Sixth, recognize that aiming your seed can help you release your faith for miracle manifestation and build you up too, you know. Seventh, continually look to the Lord God as your source. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. Let him. And aiming your seed will energize your faith. It will release an expectation for supernatural results. Notice that when Elijah got to the gate, I want to go through this when we were reading the scripture, he recognized the widow woman. He knew that that's what God was doing. Ooh, and she also recognized, she said, as the Lord your God liveth. So that's she knew it. That she'd come up with a person that the Lord said was sending, that he was sending her away.
That's
so
it.
We have run over, but you know what? This stuff in January, we need to kick start, jump start. I mean, get this year going off with the right
Absolutely.
Attitude, which will take us to the right altitude.
With power because of the authority we yes. have in the Word of God.
And let us throw in something really quick at the end. We've mentioned Dave and Diane, friends of ours in Raleigh. They have a new grandbaby born today.
Hallelujah.
So, yep. So we just congratulate them for that. And anyway.
That's exciting.
It is. Happy trails, kid.
And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts. There are so many from the Word of God.
Absolutely. We love you. We appreciate you.
Yes, we do.
Bye-bye.